Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today. On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we talk about working in the outpatient orthopedic setting, but focusing on neurological patients. We talk about fat pad irritation and how that may reduce your amount of range of motion or mobility of the knee. And then we talk about, wait, don't tell me, the specific adaptations you should expect with plyometric training.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. We have a little bit more of a quaint episode today. Is that a good word? Quaint?
Intimate. Like an acoustic show with your favorite rock star. It's just the guitar and...
Pretty good.
Yeah. Pearl Jam unplugged.
Like we're like a little closer to the camera. Like we're zoomed in a little bit.
Hello.
We're a little closer to you guys. But anyway, welcome back. I'm here with Lenny Macrina, Dave Tilley, answering your questions. We got a few nice questions for you guys today. Head to MikeReinold.com, click on that podcast link, and you guys can ask us anything you guys want. There's a nice form to fill out, and we'll get started, right?
I mean,
so intimate. Let's just get...
TBT 2014 when the podcast first started.
TBT.
Throwback Thursday.
BRB. I want to close the door.
LOL. We usually put this on Thursday. Yeah. So this is a, what is it? TBT. Throwback Thursday.
To when the three of us.
That's right.
Before all these.
I know. Now there's all these extra people. I feel like, you know, let's just get back to our roots.
Mike Reinold unplugged.
Intimate per Dave Tilley. So. Anyway, we have Casey and the Sunshine Band, K-Cup,
yes.
Kevin Coughlin.
Casey and JoJo.
Casey and JoJo and the Sunshine Band, Casey, K-Cup, Kevin Coughlin from UMass Lowell. I think we're just getting more and more extravagant.
Yeah.
Drew Doobie Doobie Doodack.
He loves it.
From the College of University of Belmont.
You're never going to live that down when you go back to school.
And Nikhil Shaquille O'Neal Harani from the... Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kentucky.
I was about to say, you're on fire.
I know. It's almost a good episode.
Too good
right
to be
there.
True.
All right, Drew, you going to exert dominance? You're not going first again today?
Selfless, humble leader.
Nikhil, he's going for the assist. He's going for a triple-double
today. I just want to say Nikhil's hair looks great today.
Great hair, buddy.
I showered.
Yeah, it's good.
It helps.
Fantastic.
First up, Morgan from Arkansas. I'm moving to a small town soon where I'll be completing my clinicals and live after I graduate school. Since it is a small town, neuro patients go to the ortho outpatient clinics. I would like to be a neurotherapist in an outpatient clinic. Do you have any tips on how to market myself to ortho therapists in outpatient?
That's an interesting
good
question.
But tricky one.
It's actually, I think the tips are easy. No ortho wants to work with neuro patients,
yeah.
So
yeah,
you're gonna market to them.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going to outpatient clinic, but you like neuro. What?
Yeah.
And it's a small community, rural town, or something like that. So everybody kind of goes to one place. What kind of neuro do you think that is? Is that
stroke
like
rehab
stroke stuff?
Maybe some brain injury.
That's what I was thinking.
Spinal cord injury, maybe.
Man, the first thing that comes to my head isn't, but I guess this isn't physical therapy in America at least right now, but like, man, wouldn't that be a great collaborative team?
Totally.
If like the ortho PTs and the neuro PTs
OTs.
Work together and the OTs work, instead of saying, well, that's my patient, that's your patient, just say like, hey, you work on his rigidity, you work on that, I'll work on
ADL,
some
like
of the
that,
neuro
yeah.
stuff like that, and you actually like kind of half co-treat or something like that.
That's really cool.
I mean, that's the first thing I thought, but that's probably not going to happen. So, to go to your question, I guess, how do you mark yourself as the neuro guy? Man, I think if you just start telling everyone in the world that that's what you love, you love doing the neuro, and you tell the front desk, hey, give me all the neuro evals, I want to treat those people,
right.
I think the orthos will be thrilled to have you take that off their caseload. You know, it's different. Man, I sure hope your boss schedules things different, right? Like, that can't be like a, you know, four people an hour kind of situation,
I think you go to the doctor's appointments a couple times with people and you meet those those, you know, those few docs that are in the area that are sending people out to outpatient rehab. And once they see somebody so passionate, it sounds like you are and want to be, I think it's a no-brainer. They're going to send you
paper. That's a great idea.
I would also say, too, like, it's almost, it's, you can think of the parallels in sports PT. What we do is, like, we treat a lot of high school, college, pro athletes, but each of us has our own baseball, gymnastics, golf, whatever. I think neuro's the same time. I mean, that's a huge field, even in neuro, like Parkinson's, stroke, TBI. To stay current on that literature is so hard. So I would say pick a few things that, like, you're really passionate about, like working with spinal cord injuries or working with whatever TBIs. And I wouldn't say not treating the other ones, but really focus on a few that you can, like, dominate, because that's a hard field to stay up with.
Right, and do what you're passionate about, but also maybe what's in your community, right? So maybe you're seeing a ton of, you know, stroke or something, like, you know, like Dave said, you know, and try to stick to that. But I like it, you know, go to the doctor appointments.
Props to
you,
man.
Yeah,
and then start a blog.
It's probably not bad. But, you know, maybe it's not marketing to the other physical therapists necessarily, but it's, and knowing that the neuro docs can have a go-to resource, and it's not just like another generic PT outpatient place, and that you specialize in that. I think that's such a niche, and it's such a, like, a small gap to fill that I don't think you're going to have any trouble with that.
Not at all.
So, yeah, awesome. What's next?
Cool. All right, so we have John from Fort Worth. Do you see much fat pad irritation and stiffness with your knee surgeries?
All right, fat,
I think I understood that.
Fat pad? Yeah.
I know Lenny's response.
Right, I think it sees us more than we see it. let me translate Drew, though, for the crowd, though. So he said, do we see fat pad irritation after knee surgery?
And stiffness.
And stiffness. So fat pad doesn't get stiff. But I guess, but maybe knee stiffness. So fat pad irritation and knee stiffness. So, I mean, Len, what do you think? You want to start with this one?
It depends on the surgery. Depends on the aggressiveness of the PT and the doc, the technical aspect of the surgeon doing the surgery. But so to answer your question, sometimes it happens if the person heals well or they have comorbidities, you know, ACLs, they can get stiff. But I think the key is recognizing it, that it's happening, the end feels different, the pain is localized to the front of the knee, like specifically, because if they're doing a scope, they go through the fat pads when they're going in to scope the knee and do the work. So, you know, inherently the fat pads are now disrupted and they're going to scar down and get a little fibrotic. So you see it, you know, pretty frequently and pretty commonly. The key is mobility, get them moving, frequent bouts of range of motion, prevent it from scarring down too much, you know, because it's going to happen.
Yeah. Fat pads are highly vascularized.
I have like a sub question, because I don't have as much experience with like post-op ACLs, but the time I can see it most common would be if somebody doesn't do motion early, gets a small cyclops lesion, and then the therapist can't embrace reality that, like, you need to go back to the surgery and crank on extension. Yeah. Have you guys ever seen that where it's like...
Yeah, it's, we see it a lot. I don't know. Docs are getting more conservative. You know, we're in Boston, and some of them are holding rehab for 2 weeks after ACLs, which is crazy. So the person's just told, you know, do quad sets and just let it heal. And then 2 weeks later, you start your PT, which to me is just mind-blowing. And the people that I've seen, you know, I've had a couple cyclops lesions. I don't want to blame that, but you know what I mean? There's other factors that could be involved with that. But I think
locking
the joint and you're just scarring down early and never be able to get over that hump. And you're fighting it. And by 6 weeks, 8 weeks, you got to recognize that there's more going on here than just stiffness.
So good answers. I think you guys both answered that really well. I'll go back to the beginning and let me ask again. We talked a lot about knee stiffness after surgery. How many times do you think that's from the fat pad? Because we just totally...
The
question was specific to the fat pad.
I don't think the fat pad's causing stiffness. The fat pad pain is going to cause maybe some guiding by the person who's going to block you from doing range of motion, block you from allowing them to bike, or they're going to be in so much pain they're not going to do their homework, meaning range of motion exercises. It comes down to motion. I think most of the things that we do in PT is about mobility, motion, and then getting the strengthening on top of that. And if they can't move because they're in pain, it's not the fat pads that are physically blocking the joint.
Yeah.
It's scarring, it's capsular, you know, tightening, it's so many other variables.
And that's
so,
that's like a good secondary question. Why you got to get in so early, because I think that a lot of therapists, unfortunately, are like going a little too aggressive day zero to day seven.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you get somebody in and just like basics, man, like after wash, massage, pain, basic motion, like you can help relieve a lot of that. They just stabbed you with an arthroscope through your fat pad.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll prevent
some stiffness. And I've even, in my career, when I was, you know, a younger PT, they would do, some people would do so well early on, you're like, all right, let's push it. Because I want it, now they're doing well, and then they get stiff because you've pushed it too much. You've created a swollen knee, or you've created a little bit more pain. You're almost playing to the person. Like, look, we can press this. We can push this even further because you're doing so well, and then you hit this roadblock. So you got to be cautious as well with that.
Well,
nice.
Well said.
Love it. All right, what do we got? K-Cup.
All right, we got Sean from New York.
Chromebook, by the way?
It is, yeah.
Get
yeah,
it.
Chromebook.
Look at you.
School required.
Yeah, is that like part of your, is that part of your thing?
No, I love it.
I Chromebook. Chromebooks are going to be the future.
As a Google shareholder.
Google dad, yeah.
Yeah, but aren't you an Apple shareholder?
That too.
I'm a Microsoft shareholder.
Hypocritical.
Anyway, sorry. All right.
One pace
Chromebook it away. KC Chromebook K-Cup.
Sean from New York. Hey Mike, loving the podcast. It's a great supplement to my current coursework. I'm currently an athletic training student at Marist College in New York and plan on sitting for my CSCS in addition to my ATC next spring and plan on going into the strength and conditioning realm. My question, what are the expected adaptations to plyometric programming?
Nice. Quick question. Was a nice intro. I like that. That was good though. Actually liked hearing about you. That was good. All right, so plyometrics, what are the adaptations that we're doing for? I think a lot of people confuse plyometrics with like power drills. Mm. And there's a big difference between plyometrics and power drills. You know, I guess I'll start and just say the whole concept or the reason why plyometrics are performed or the reason why we have plyometrics is to be able to both dissipate and produce force. Right, and more importantly, it's about the transition between that application.
Yeah. Amortization.
Right. Yeah. Right. So if you go into the plyometrics and you kind of talk about like what is the basis behind plyometrics and stuff, it's about getting that stretch shortening cycle of the muscle, and that like Dave kind of alluded to is the amortization phase, which is kind of in the middle. That's from kind of like the catch, right, where you kind of slow down and then you explode back up concentrically. The key to plyometrics is to train the body to decrease the amortization phase. Mm. Decrease that so that way you can transition that dissipation to the production of force as fast as you can. And that to me is the number one adaptation you should be trying to get. Not power output, not your ability to generate force, but your ability to be able to transition from that kind of catch phase to the explode phase. That's the adaptation. Now don't get me wrong, that's going to have subsequent carryover, right? And you will get more power, but that if you're not focusing on that, then you're probably teaching the exercise wrong, right? What do you guys think?
Yeah, so I just read like a bunch of strength conditioning text writing for the book that I had on like what are the physiological adaptations to it. So it's just like a lot of things when you're in PT, there's like you have the neurological side, then you have like the true tissue side, right? So neurologically is what most people think of is like tuning of the stretch reflex. They think there's a lot of central mechanisms of like pre-activation of the muscle, like before you hit anticipatory. So you have a lot of like local spinal reflex changes, but you also, which I was very surprised for, is there's a couple of studies that show hypertrophy of the tissue, the muscular tissue around the tendon with a lot of plyometrics, and that you also have some elasticity, viscoelasticity property changes of the tendon. And it gets kind of tricky because it's like, what's the optimal stiffness? You don't want someone to be so stiff they can't move their range of motion, but you don't want someone to be so loose they can't absorb and they have a super long amortization phase. So, but that's like what the research suggests is two parallel effects of plyos.
Nice.
What about mechanotransduction?
That's actually, yeah, that's how you get hypertrophy.
Duh.
It's epigenetically, too.
Correct. Duh. I'm learning.
Endogenous growth hormone for epigenetic changes of receptors.
I mean, you can't beat that answer. These two right here.
Awesome. Great episode. Thanks, everybody. Please head to MikeRonald.com, click on that podcast link, and fill out the form. You can ask us more questions. Try to stimulate Dave's brain thoughts as much as we possibly can. We do it. Try to work the word mechanotransduction into your...
epigenetic neurobiomechanical.
Neurobiomechanical into your thing.
Watch this episode in 2 years when the research comes out as a lit review in PT. We're like, we should be doing this.
This is like officially our first catchphrase, I think.
Yeah. It started from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
My first podcast.
Neurobiomechanical.
I was so nervous.
That was your first one?
Yeah. I was like, well, you got the neurobiomechanical changes. I was like sitting between you two, and I was like, oh my God, I'm terrified of my bosses.
Neurobiomechanical.
Just throwing big words out.
I think that's a t-shirt.
Exactly.
Should
oh my God.
Do that?
I don't want it. Epigenetic neurobiomechanical.
Hashtag. That's pretty solid. Anyway, you know what to do. See you on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeRonald.com/podcast. And fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeRonald.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.